Hello, Calvary Church. It is good to be spending some time with you again today. We're currently in between series, and so I've been given the opportunity to share a message based on whatever was bouncing around kind of in my head and heart rather than just the next message in the current series. So it's actually kind of funny. Some people, you might think it would be easier to just kind of have like, hey, pick whatever you want, talk about whatever you want, but I find it almost a little bit harder for me at times to have the whole Bible open to preach from because there are a lot of options in here that you could talk about and discuss. But after giving it some thought, I've decided to kind of share some thoughts that I have coming out of the 36 hours of prayer that we just had going on last weekend. So after being there myself for several hours and talking with some other people who had been a part of it about kind of what were they seeing, what were they noticing, what were they experiencing, the theme of encountering God was one that kept popping up. Now, this probably shouldn't be surprising to any of us. If we're going to have multiple churches, you know, potentially some college ministries come together for 36 hours of nonstop prayer and worship, you would think that one of the hopes of that time would be to encounter God. Now, whenever I was getting ready for the message, I found out, and I don't know, I didn't know this, did you know that the definition of encounter is an unexpected or casual meeting with someone or something? Again, I don't know about you, there's something about the use of unexpected and even of casual that I don't love because I did have the expectancy of people, myself included, connecting with God. So there's something about, you know, oh, you know, I encountered God. It was a casual meeting. It's like, well, that doesn't fit. I don't want to casually encounter God. I don't even know if you can casually encounter God. And I don't want to say it was completely unexpected because that's actually one of the things that we're going to kind of be talking about this morning is this idea of God wants to meet with us. He desires to meet with us. He's made a way for us to meet with him. And especially going into something like, you know, 36 hours of prayer and worship, there should really be some kind of expectancy of connecting and meeting with God. So I settled on the idea that instead of encountering God, of meeting God, which also sounds a bit weird to me, but maybe it shouldn't be surprising that it's hard to find language when talking about God. So as I was thinking about meeting with God, being in his presence, I came across a section of verses in Galatians chapter 4 that spoke to some of the ideas that I had been considering and the spiritual realities that are in place that would lead us towards an expectancy of meeting with God. So I'm going to start off by just taking a minute and reading through this section here. And again, it's Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And it says this: What I am saying is that as long as an heir is under age, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were under age, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that's you and me, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And because we are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. Now, the word meet is defined as coming into the presence or company of someone by chance or by arrangement. I've had a lot of meetings in my life. Some were by chance and some were arranged. And I'm not talking about meetings at work, you know, business meetings, but the points of connection that we have with other people throughout our days, our weeks, even our years and our lives. I can remember meeting Thea for the first time since we were kids. We'd met maybe whenever we were in elementary school, but I can remember years later, I can remember her walking into the Wednesday night worship service that we were having at the church that I grew up in, Grace Covenant Church in Lewistown. I can remember thinking to myself, well, she grew up. I can remember meeting each of my kids and the anticipation of seeing them face to face. You know, you've got the pregnant belly and I've been seeing them move and kick and I've seen the ultrasound, but the idea of actually meeting them face-to-face rather than just through the ultrasound. There's a small group of guys who I meet with almost every Wednesday night. This is a little bit of a more recent meeting. We get together to play disc golf. Most of us have some kids that we drop off at XYM. Others just come from home, and we get together, and we just have a blast. We'll play disc golf here or one of the other local courses, and we just enjoy being together. I can remember times when I was told that my boss wanted to meet with me, and I didn't want to go to that meeting because I just assumed that something must have gone wrong. You know, start trying to figure out how to stage your own kidnapping so that you don't have to go and find out that you messed something up and now your boss is upset and just getting ready to ream you out. I can remember meeting the hospital employee in the entrance of the ER when she told us that they had not been able to revive my brother. In a lot of ways, it would probably be possible to think about my life as a series of meetings, both planned and unplanned. And this is true, I would think, for each one of us. I suppose that makes, again, a lot of sense when you consider the fact that God, who created us, is a relational being. He's lived in relationship for all of eternity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in eternal communion. And so as humanity, we've been created in His image. We've all got a list. Now, some may be longer than others between, you know, introverts and extroverts and that sort of thing. But we all have this list of meetings that we've had throughout our lives that have shaped us for good and for bad. An icebreaker that Jonathan Weibel will often use when he's got a group of people together who maybe don't know each other that well is to name the most famous person that you've ever met or the top three most famous people that you've ever met. It leads to some really good conversation because there's just something about sharing those meetings with others that grabs our hearts and minds. Even if I don't know you very well and you're telling me about encounters or meetings you've had with people that I've never met, it's still interesting. It just kind of grabs us. But meeting a famous person is one thing, but isn't meeting God on a completely different level? It strikes me that there's almost a hint of arrogance in making the claim that you've met God, I've met God. Perhaps one of the most important questions that we can ask ourselves is, do we actually believe that God wants to meet with us? Or make it more personal, do you really believe that God wants to meet with you? Now, if you grew up in the church, the answer that probably comes fairly easily to mind is yes. You're like, oh, yes, of course. You know, I know Jesus wants to meet with me. God wants to meet with me. He loves me. But if I told you that Jesus was going to be at a coffee shop that's just down the road from you and he was going to be there this afternoon, would you think to yourself, oh, I should definitely swing by because I know he'd love to see me? Or would you wonder? If he had time, would you wonder if maybe there's some other meetings that were a little bit more important with some other people who were a little bit more important? And then another question that kind of begs to be asked is this: do we actually want to meet with God? These are important questions, both to ask and to answer, to at least consider. As we look at the verses again here in Galatians 4, 1-7, and read the language of adoption and sonship, the answer to that first question really becomes quite clear. And it's my first point, and it's simply this, that God wants to meet with us. Paul tells us in this letter to the church in Galatia that God sent his son, Jesus, to redeem us so that we might receive adoption as his children. He even sent the Holy Spirit of His Son into our hearts to call out, Abba, Father. And if we are His children, then we are also His heirs. That's what Paul tells us here. And this language of adoption and sonship and heirs is the language of family. It's the language of relationships. It speaks to our Father God, who went out of His way, sending His only Son to save us and bring us back into relationship with Him. What sense would it make for Him to then turn around and say that He doesn't even really want to see us? He doesn't want to meet with us. The entire story of Scripture, from creation to incarnation, salvation, reconciliation, giving us the ministry of reconciliation, being adopted as children into the family of God, the whole story is a story of relational redemption. Yes, God wants to meet with us. And then not only does God want to meet with us, but God has cleared the way. Not only does God want to meet with us, he has gotten rid of all that stood between us and him. Jesus took on the cross all of our sins, and if we choose to put our faith in him and receive the gift of his salvation, we are forgiven of every single one of our sins, past, present, and future, and we are relationally reconciled with our Father. We have been brought from slavery to sin under the law to the freedom of sonship under Jesus Christ. This is why we are told in scriptures like Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, to approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This confidence to approach the throne of God is the confidence of a child to walk into the presence of their father. The confidence of a child to know that their papa daddy wants to see them. You may remember in the story of Esther that she is getting ready to approach the throne of her husband, the king, without being invited, knowing that there's a chance, maybe even a good chance, that she could be killed for having the audacity of walking into the throne room of the king uninvited. She and all of her people were fasting and praying for favor so that she might approach the king and not die. And we're told that we can come. Here, we're told we can come with confidence before the throne room of our Father because of the work of Christ. So he wants to meet with us, and he's made a way. He's removed the dividing wall so that we can meet with him. And the third point that I want to make is just this idea of remembering who our Father is, remembering who it is that we're coming to meet with. And this was something that really, I think God was specifically pointing out to me during that time at the 36 hours of prayer. I was there, I was preparing to lead into a time of prayer focused around repentance and encountering God. And the Lord led me to three different sections of scripture that contained the accounts of three different people's encounters with God. I actually want to take a minute and just read those scriptures to you now. The first one is found in Revelation chapter 1. It's John. It's the disciple. One of the apostles is what most people believe. And he has this encounter with the risen Jesus. And it says this, "I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead." That's an encounter that John had with the risen Lord. John, his disciple, John, his apostle, who spent years of his life walking with Jesus, ministering with Jesus, becoming friends with Jesus. And even after all that time spent with him, when he saw the glory of Christ, it wasn't a high five to see him again or even a hug. It was a falling down at Jesus' feet as though dead. Isaiah chapter 6, this is a pretty famous encounter that Isaiah has with God. And it says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." That's Isaiah's reaction when he has an encounter with God, when he meets God. And the last one I want to read is just found in the book of Job. It's at the very end of the book, chapter 42. And Job says this, "You asked me," he's talking to God, "you asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me." And then Job makes this statement, "My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Now, to be fair, there are many other times when people met with God, met with Jesus, had these encounters or meetings, planned and unplanned, a lot of times unplanned, that didn't play out this way. This isn't how every meeting with God goes, but I did feel like it was being emphasized to me. I mean, these three stories of meeting God, meeting Christ, are the ones that really felt like God was just kind of putting his finger on them. And I think what it was being emphasized to me is just the reality that our Father, and he is our Father, God, this God that Isaiah encountered, this God that Job encounters, he is our Father, but we do not have a pushover parent. In these three instances, there was a holy awe that left them almost unable to function, falling like they were dead at the feet of Jesus. They were overcome by the glory and the holiness and the power of our God. He is our Father, and he is the creator of heaven and earth, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. In these meetings, God set the agenda. Job, John, and Isaiah were very firmly not in control. And I think this begins to touch on that second question that I brought up at the beginning of the message. Do we really want to meet with God? How would you answer this question? What keeps you from meeting with God? I think that some of the answers that come most quickly to my mind, and maybe to all of our minds, are the answers of busyness, maybe even fear. Certainly there are others, but I can't help but wonder if one of, if not the main reason, is found in the idea of control. Again, it's super evident from these three passages that we just read. We're not in control of God. I'd like to give just a few moments of silence to ask God to reveal to us, for you to prayerfully ask God to reveal to you what is keeping you from meeting with him. Let's take a moment to do that now. Whatever it is that comes to mind, and maybe in this moment nothing's coming to mind, I would just encourage you not to give up on the question. Continue to ask the question until God responds, until you feel like you've gotten some kind of an answer. In our most recent staff meeting, Pastor Dan made the statement that time and attention are two of the most important resources that we have to steward. I believe that if we were intentional to take even one step, make at least a change that would point our hearts and minds toward greater time and attention for God, he would amaze us with the frequency with which he would meet with us. And I wonder if we had more frequent meetings with God, how we might be changed. Inwardly, outwardly, how our families might be changed, our church might be changed, our neighborhoods might be changed. So I want to encourage you to continue, even after you go home, even after you go back to work, even after you finish up the week or the following week, ask the Holy Spirit to keep this in your mind. Lord, what's keeping me from meeting with you? Let me take a minute and pray for us. Father, I thank you so much that the reality is not only do you want to meet with us, but that you've cleared the way for those meetings to be able to take place. And I say meetings intentionally because, God, you don't want to just meet with us once. Lord, you want to meet with us again and again and again. I believe that you want to meet with us, encounter us daily. And so, Lord, I pray that we would have the courage to ask and to listen for your answer on what are the things in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts that are causing us to miss these potential meetings with you, that are causing us to draw away and not encounter you with the frequency with which you want to encounter us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.